May God add his blessing to the reading of the scriptures this morning. And may the words of my mouth be just the right words that we need to hear today. Two friends were walking along the edge of a steep cliff one night. One slipped and fell over. His friend crawled over to the edge of the cliff and looked down, couldn't see him. He shouted, "Are you all right?" He said, "Yes," from down below. He said, "Are you hurt?" "No." "Oh, good. How far did you fall?" He said, "I don't know. I haven't hit the bottom yet." Charles Hadley Spurgeon was a famous preacher from England. Dr. Spurgeon often, during his ministry, would have long, difficult bouts with depression, sometimes for weeks at a time. Once he wrote this to his congregation to explain why he wouldn't be able to preach that Sunday. He said, "I am as a potter's vessel when it is utterly broken, useless, and laid aside. Nights of watching, days of weeping have been mine, but I hope that the cloud will pass." In a biography that was written about Charles Spurgeon, these words: "What he suffered in those times of darkness, we may not know. Even his desperate calling on God brought no relief. There are dungeons," he said, "beneath the castles of despair." Dungeons beneath the castles of despair. You can't sink much lower into depression than that. There's a man who had hit bottom. Now listen to the words of the psalmist. "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy." Have you ever been in one of those dungeons? Those dungeons beneath the castles of despair? I have. Have you ever cried out from the depths? I have. Have you ever been so far down in the dumps that you think that there's no way you're ever going to climb out? You're not alone if you have. I would guess that most of us probably have experienced this kind of agony, this thing called deep depression. Throughout history, many fine people have cried out of those depths of despair. Some of you may know that the great Winston Churchill fought the same battle. Throughout his adult life, he suffered chronic bouts of depression and gloom that he called the black dog that followed him around. During World War II, Churchill often doubted that he had the ability to lead the English people through the war. And through my own experience and also speaking to other pastors, it's a common thing. Many of us feel that we do not have the wherewithal. We don't have the ability. And especially this past year, we've all felt very inadequate. We were unprepared. There were no classes that taught us how to get through what we've just gone through for this past year and month and a few months. And so I can relate to what Churchill must have felt like at times. But yet, somehow, he did what we're all doing. He kept plodding along, putting one foot in front of the other, even on days when he didn't want to. And he brought the British people with him. It was Churchill who, even as the Nazis were advancing and the Allied front in Europe was collapsing, things didn't look good, said these words: "We shall not fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight on the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. we shall never surrender. So he fought this battle against depression. It doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. It means that you're going through a difficult time. Abraham Lincoln did too. During the Civil War, Lincoln said this, quote, "If the misery I feel was equally divided among every member of the human race, there would not be a single smiling face among us." That's how depressed he was. Even one of our great modern saints, Mother Teresa, knew what it was to cry out from the depths of depression. At one point early on in her ministry, she was so depressed that she said that God had forsaken her. Even a great woman like her. Many notable people throughout history have suffered from that black dog of depression, including the man that King David replaced. The story is told in 1 Samuel chapter 16. His name was Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. At first, Saul was a good king. He did everything God told him, and he was very successful. Then something happened in his life. Samuel put it this way. He said, "Now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servants said to him, 'Behold now, an evil spirit is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skilled in playing the lyre. And when the evil spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well.' So Saul said to his servants, 'Provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me.' One of the young men answered, 'Behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him.' Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, 'Send me David, your son, who is with the sheep.' And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a skin of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service. And Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, 'Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight.' And whenever the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. And Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Many times when we're feeling down, we listen to music, don't we? It helped King Saul, at least temporarily. There's a whole lot more to the story. Saul was kind of a pathetic man, and eventually he was so jealous of David that he wanted to kill him. He chased him all over Israel, and that eventually led to his end. It's a sad story. When any depression is as serious as King Saul's, there may be more than one cause. There's depression we know now that is caused by a chemical imbalance in the body. They tell us it may be genetic. Thinking positive thoughts or even crying out to God will not cure that kind of depression. But modern medicine can help. Sometimes a change of diet or exercise helps. People respond differently to different therapies. But if you or anyone you know are in a period of deep depression, the first thing that I would suggest is to have them see a doctor. Life's crises can also bring on times of sadness. Sometimes long times of sadness. Pastor Ted Ferris tells a story about a friend of his who always comes to see him around Christmas time. His friend's husband was a great guy, and he had died about 20 years previous. And Ferris describes his friend as one of those rare people who is absolutely earthy. He just easy to get along with, enjoys good food, enjoys gardening, enjoys people, music. And he says I should say she. He says that when you've been with her, you feel like you've been in another world. She was brought up a Roman Catholic and was faithful to her church, but she says that she belongs to every church. He once asked her, "How long ago did your husband die?" She said, 20 years ago. At the time when he died, if I had known that I would have to live 20 years without him, alone, I would have said I cannot do it. And I didn't do it so well in the beginning. But then she said something quite remarkable. She said, "But suddenly it came to me. And every day since then, I begin the day by saying, 'God, what can I do for someone else? And what can I do for you today? Help me do it. Push me. Make me do it.'" And he has. That's a courageous woman. She's answered the call. She's ministered to hundreds of people. She lives in a college town, and she assists students from every part of the world. And many, many of them have become lifelong friends. What a marvelous spirit. She was determined that her grief would be channeled into something positive, and it was, and it still is. Depression comes from many sources. One source is sin. Listen to the words of the psalmist. "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins," oh, if the Lord kept a record of my sins, "who could stand? But with you, there's forgiveness." Just negated all that thought about God keeping a record, because he doesn't. Anytime we betray our values, we run the risk of depression. It's called guilt. There are people who feel low and they lash out at others, and they don't realize that it's because there's some unresolved guilt or something in their life. This was at least part of King Saul's problem. He had disobeyed God. I don't know exactly what it means when it says that the Lord had departed, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, and an evil spirit from the Lord had tormented him. I don't know exactly what that means, but I know that Saul disobeyed God, and I know that many of us are tormented by a guilty conscience because we have in some way disobeyed God. We forget what a forgiving and loving God he is. And so we carry around all this guilt. Paul Wellman, in his novel called The Chain, tells of a young man who, during a bitter argument, he killed his own brother. Later on in life, he became an Episcopal priest. And all through his adult life, he could never get rid of the guilt that he felt for what he had done. Years later, he was critically injured in an automobile accident. And in the emergency room, doctors were shocked when they brought him in on the gurney, removed his shirt, and they found a chain that he had welded around his body. And he told them later that this was a symbol of his guilt, his regret for what he had done. I wonder how many people today are carrying around on their bodies or in their minds a similar heavy chain. But this is a type of depression that there's an easy way out. "Lord, if you kept a record of my sins, I couldn't stand. But with you, there's forgiveness. Just accept it. You're forgiven." Today, start a new life. Lay the guilt down at the altar of God. Walk away free. But not all dark nights of the soul are because of sin. Physical problems, crises that come in our lives are almost always a big part of the mix. If you're feeling down today, I'm not here to add to that burden. But if guilt is a problem, don't let it be anymore. There's a way out. All you have to do is ask God to forgive you and then be assured that he did. Whatever the cause of your heartache and sadness, God wants to make you whole. The psalmist says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. I like the verses that say, more than watchmen. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Here's a picture of a depressed person lying awake at night, wishing for morning to come, to chase away their anxiety, for a new day. Don't raise your hands, but I wonder how many people in this room ever have trouble sleeping at night. From all the commercials for all the sleep aids that I see on TV, I think probably a lot of us sometimes have trouble sleeping at night. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. Imagine a watchman on the city wall. That's what this scripture is referring to. And it's your job to keep watch on the city, to watch the gates and the wall that no one enters. So you guard the city throughout the night and nothing happens. The hours drag on and it's boring and you're tired. And this graveyard shift isn't easy. And you begin wishing for dawn so that you can be relieved by somebody else. Go home and rest. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman. Many of us have spent nights, long nights, waiting for the morning. Life can be hard. We can get discouraged. We can get disheartened. I read somewhere that the Hayden Planetarium in New York City ran an ad in one of the city's papers inviting anybody who would like to make the first journey to another planet to submit an application. Within a matter of a few days, they had 18,000 people that applied. These people were then given to a panel of psychologists who reviewed them and concluded that the vast majority of them, those people who had applied, wanted to start a new life on another planet because they were so discouraged by the life that they had on this one. That's sad. Some of you understand. You lie awake at night and you question and you wonder, and sometimes you even weep. As someone has wisely said, when you can't sleep, don't count sheep. Talk to the shepherd. That's what the psalmist is trying to tell us here. Whatever has you down, whenever you get in the place where you feel like you're approaching that dungeon, stop. Talk it over with God. We have all these tools right in front of us, and we don't use them. Talk to God. Tell him how you feel. Tell him you feel like you're headed toward one of those dungeons and that you don't want to be there. Ask him for his help, and surely he will provide that help. Amen.